And I'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 17. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. I'll read verses 1 through 17. I'll entitle the message this evening, The Chastening of the Lord. In the book, in the month of August, we are looking at God is greater in our emotions. And then I'm going to use this to deal with that topic as well. The Chastening of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I already mentioned this evening, I entitled the message, The Chastening of the Lord. God's word instructs us as Christians to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And God has not left us without the capability of doing these things. God has given us his word. God has given us direction. But more than that, God has also given us chastisement. When in this battle we all face in the Christian life, the Lord Jesus Christ guides us and leads us. In Hebrews 11, God gives us a cloud of witnesses to consider in living the Christian life. With all these things, we realize that in the battle, we're not alone when we face sin. And the reason of chastisement, of course, is to give us victory over sin. God's word goes to show that the hand of God, in our lives as children is shown by the chastening of the Lord. What is the chastening of the Lord? It's the Holy Spirit dealing with issues within your life. When the preaching of the word of God occurs, when you come on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night and the man of God brings the word of God forward, and the preaching of the word of God occurs, there should be something going on in your heart, besides even when the preaching of the word of God is going on. Let's say, given the instance when you're at home or you're by yourself, or you're somewhere in your life and you're doing something you ought not to be doing. The chastening of the Lord is involved. And I can testify that it's true because I experience it. I know what the feeling is to have your burden or your conscience, to have that pain within, and to know that what you're doing right now at that moment of time is not the right thing, and God is trying to help you to get back and do the right thing. There are many important things about the chastening of the Lord, but I'm just going to focus on a few this evening. God's word says we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. It shows as well that we are his children when we are chastised. The absence of chastisement shows that we are not his children. And finally, chastisement yields the fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. First of all, this evening, if you're taking notes, chastisement is not to be despised. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Hebrews chapter 12 and 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." When faced with correction, it's natural for us to become defensive. When God deals with us on certain issues and certain things in our life, the natural man is going to tend to want to despise it. And that is because of pride. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. You look at Adam and Eve in the garden when they're first confronted about their sin. What was it that they did? They blamed someone else. "Isn't it not because of the wife which you gave me? And isn't it not because the serpent beguiled me?" We always want to have an excuse for our sins. But when the Holy Spirit deals with us and the things in our life, with issues in our life, we need to learn not to despise it. Don't make excuses. Treat it for what it is. When God shows you your faults, admit your faults and learn from God. Do what he tells you to do. We don't like to admit that we are wrong because of pride. But the Bible says we need to learn from our mistakes. We need to accept correction. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading verse number 5. Proverbs, chapter 1. And verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The Bible says fools despise wisdom and instruction. Bible tells us we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. What is the chastening of the Lord that it does in our life? It gives us wisdom and instruction. God uses his Holy Spirit to give us guidance. When we read the Word of God, as a Christian, we have a privilege that people who don't know the Lord don't have. We have the privilege to understand because the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we read his Word. He gives us wisdom and instruction. If we're willing to submit to it, we can be different. And we'll learn about that later on in this message. Our Lord instructs us not to despise the wisdom and instruction that God gives us through his chastisement. It's not something that is enjoyable. The Bible says that chastisement is a time that is grievous. That means when you're being chastised, you're not going to be happy about it. When God is correcting you, you're not going to feel good. But recognize it for what it is. Do not despise it. These emotions that we face when corrected could cause us to do any number of things if not dealt with properly. Bitterness, living a life that is not pleasing to the Lord, it can be a result of someone simply not listening to God's correction. God chastises them, God shows them their ways, where they are wrong, and instead of accepting it, instead of learning to lift up their hands which hang down, their knees, the Bible says their feeble knees, instead of moping around, that's what we want to do, we feel downcast or we feel discouraged because God is dealing with us. Instead of doing those things, we need to lift ourselves up and follow the path of righteousness. Listen to God. Don't despise it. Hebrews 12:12 says, where it says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." And this verse shows that during the time of chastisement, we are faced with a feeling of discouragement, and we're not to let our feelings guide us. We're told not to despise the chastening of the Lord, and also are shown that chastening from God shows that we are his children. Number two this evening, if you're taking notes, chastisement shows we are God's children. The Bible says, first of all, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And also says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? One of the reasons we should not despise the chastening of the Lord is simple truth, that it shows you are God's child. The Bible says, he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. When you are faced with that confrontation, when God is dealing with you, when the preaching the Word of God, or if you're studying the Word of God, accept it for what it is. God loves you. God wants you to be different. He doesn't want you to be different so that you are sad. He wants you different so that you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be more like him. Because there's blessings for us when we follow our Savior. And when we do what he tells us to do. The Bible says the following in Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and following. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and in my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. When David was burdened with his sin, when he got to that point where he was feeling overwhelmed, the Bible says he confessed it. And he said, the Lord forgavest my iniquity. God, when he's dealing with you and he's dealing with you because you're his child, he wants you to become better, what we need to do is confess it, whatever it is he's dealing with. And when we do that, when we confess our faults for what they are, our sin for what it is, then we can be guaranteed that the Lord will forgive our iniquity. Our fellowship will be restored. We'll be at a place where God wants us to be in the Christian life as his children. God's love, again, as I've mentioned, is very important to understand, and that is why he chastises us. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God's correction is a sign of love for you as his child. Don't despise it. Recognize it for what it is. It's showing you that God loves you. You're his child. He wants you to change for the better. God does it because he loves you. We're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And we see that it is a testimony to us that we are his children. However, if we are without chastisement, the Bible says we are not God's children. I just want to focus on that for a short period this evening. The Bible says if we are without chastisement, then we are not God's children. Hebrews chapter 12, 7 and 8. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If you can proclaim to be a child of God, and yet you've never experienced chastisement from God, you can honestly say that the Word of God, when you hear it being preached or you read it, it has no effect in your heart. It never gives you a desire to be different, to be more like Christ. If you can honestly say that you can live like this world and enjoy the things of this world and the things of God does not mean anything to you, then I can honestly say you probably don't know the Lord. And the reason why I say that, because the Bible says, if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And I say that for this reason and this reason alone. I would never ever want anyone to doubt their genuine salvation. But I would never ever want anyone also to come to this church and think they're saved because of what they do, because they're here at this church, because they've been baptized, because they read the Bible, because they do these things. Genuine salvation is based upon having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is simple as that. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. And the Bible says if you genuinely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so I bring this point to light because God's word brings it to light so that you may understand where you're at, so that you can see. Because God's children can't live in known sin without facing correction from the Holy Spirit. And if you're living a life that you know is a life of sin and it does not bother you, then come speak to me or speak to Pastor, and so that we can go through the Word of God so that we can settle this issue in your life. The Bible, I'll read it again. I've read it already, but the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." God delights in his children. He corrects them. He wants them to be better. So if you're not being corrected, God is not helping you to be where you ought to be, the Holy Spirit's not dealing with sin in your life, then you need to deal with that issue. If you are in that place, and you are in a place where you're never under conviction from God, and I can't see your heart, I don't know where you're at, but you do. I can't see who is under conviction from God and who is not, but the individual will know if they're under conviction or if they're not. And I want you to settle those things in your life. Rest assured, if you care not for the things of God, then most likely you are not his child. The Bible says in Philippians 3:18 and following, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." The Bible says the following, 1 John chapter 2:18 and following, "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Making mention of this again, I just want to make mention of it because the Bible mentions it. But I want no confusion in this aspect to understand. You're saved by grace and not through works. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that being said, understanding that truth, conviction is part of the Christian life. God doesn't leave his children without direction. God doesn't leave his children without chastisement. I'm not teaching a works-based salvation. All I'm simply is telling you, if you are a child of God, God will chastise you. We are not to despise the chastisement of God. If we face chastisement from God, then we know we belong to him. If we are without chastisement, with which all of God's children face, then we are not part of the family of God. And finally, this evening, we see that chastisement yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 and following. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." God's word encourages us to accept the work of the Holy Spirit because it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. God wants us to bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness. What is the fruit of righteousness? It's living a life closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's doing the things that God wants you to do in your life. It's following him and doing what he wants you to do. If we're living for self as God's child, we'll get to heaven, but we might get there in a place where we're not where we ought to be. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3 and 13 and following. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I make mention of that because God warns us, if we're not listening to the chastisement of God, there are consequences. In Hebrews 12:17, it says, for you know that afterward, when he would have, speaking of Esau, have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This is dealing with those who live for the temporal over the eternal. This is dealing with those who, when being chastised by God, and God is dealing their hearts and lives, instead of accepting it and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject it. And the Bible says they get to a place where they're probably going to look back and they're going to have regrets. And God doesn't want us to have regrets. And I'm not going to focus on that part in our lives. God doesn't want us to get to a place where we're going to be saved, yet so as by fire, where we have nothing to offer to the Lord for our Christian life. God encourages us to follow. There's a peace that passes understanding when we follow him. And there's also rewards for following the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we listen to him when he speaks to us. When God deals with us as with his children and he chastises us, we listen. Bible says, Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God peace shall be with you. When we follow Paul as he followed Christ and are following Christ in our lives, then we are blessed with eternal blessings. God's correction is for God's direction in our lives. The next time your heart is burned under the preaching of the Word of God, praise the Lord for it. He's still working on you. The next time God deals with you in an aspect where he wants you to change or to give up a certain sin or to go to a certain place or be in a certain way different, listen. Bible says in Philippians 1:6 and following, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and with offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. God will always continue working in you, dear child, after you're his dear child, until the day of Jesus Christ. God will always be chastising you and guiding you and directing you. The Bible says reproofs are the ways of life. And the reason why God is always going to be working you and directing you and he's going to be chastising you is because he loves you, and so that you yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The Bible says unto the glory and praise of God. God is praised when we listen to his chastisement. God is pleased when we obey him. God is magnified when we're listening and we're following him. And that is why he chastises us. God's chastisement is meant for good and not for evil. It is bring us to an expected end. That end is to be more like Jesus. That is why he chastises us. The chastisement of God is not to be despised. We can take what God means for good in our lives and make it something, or we can take it and make it something that will make us bitter. If we're not becoming better, we're going to become bitter. And what I mean by that, when God is working in your life, you can accept it and become more like him, or you can reject it. And it makes Christians become people who are bitter. When we are under his chastisement, it encourages us because it shows us who we are. We're his children. He loves us. If you're involved in Christian life and you're living a life, you profess to be Christian and you're living a known sin, you don't have that chastisement, the Bible says, then you're probably not his child. However, Christians, we should allow God's chastisement to do the work that God wishes to do in our lives so that we are more like him and God is praised by our lives. There are many emotions involved in this. There are many things that can discourage you, whether it be you feel that you just don't measure up. You can never reach that target. But I want you to remember, none of us will in this life. We can always do better. But this should not discourage us. He's God. We're humans. And all God encourages us to do is to become more like him, to do our best. And one day, if we are faithful and we're listening and we're accepting his chastisement, one day we'll hear the good Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not about focusing on the negative part of it. It's focusing on the part that God loves you and he's trying to make you better. He's trying to make you more like him. As we think about that this evening, remember the chastisement of the Lord is for your betterment so that you can be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, I pray you forgive